O God, who on the solemnity of the apostles Peter and Paul, give us the noble and holy joy of this day, grant we pray that your church may in all things follow the teaching of those through whom she received the beginnings of right religion. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Religion is not man's search for God.
Religion is God's search for man. So the beginnings of right religion are the beginnings of God's search for man, rightly, correctly. I remember one of my professors at Rome used to say that interreligious dialogue is, he thought it was very beautiful, and it was to say, go to another culture and say, we've come to learn your beautiful names for God, and we tell you our beautiful names for God. And I put up my hand, and I knew my mom was getting into trouble. I said, sir, I said, father, that sounds nice, except it's rubbish. Because we don't have a beautiful name for God. We have God's name for himself. Catholicism is not about what name shall I give God today. Isn't he merciful? Isn't he lovely? Sounds like a Stevie Wonder song. No. Catholicism is God revealing his own name to us. I am who I am. And in Jesus, we see I am made flesh. We see the Lord himself. The unpronounceable name of God, YHWH, is made pronounceable and visible and tangible in Jesus, Yehoshua. The Lord saves. YHWH saves. So, do I think our religion is superior? It's not about superiority. Superior in one sense. Do I think Catholicism is true? Yes. And that's the only reason to believe in it. Is it truer than all others? Yes, but only because it's from Jesus. It's Jesus, God himself, revealing God to us human beings. Now, when our Holy Father St. Francis of Assisi founded his poor band of friars, there were already people embracing a life of poverty as a way of following Christ, of imitating Christ. What made Francis different, St. Francis different, is he linked his life of poverty to one of obedience to the Pope. Obedience to the Pope granted the Franciscan order in the heart of the Church. And more than that, it made it present throughout the whole world. Wherever the Church is dispersed throughout the whole world, Franciscans have been there. The reason Francis did this is simple. Without the Pope, there is no Church to speak of. Without this rock, the rock that is Peter, that Jesus founded his church on, there is no church to speak of. And St. Francis knew that. What makes Peter special is Jesus' choosing of Simon the fisherman and making him Peter, the rock of the church. Giving someone a new name is always a significant action. But when the name giver is God himself, the name he gives becomes true about you. So for example, in the Old Testament, Abram, which means exalted father, is renamed by God Abraham, the father of a multitude. And because God is the one who does this, it becomes true. Abraham truly becomes the father of a multitude. And his descendants, God promises, will outnumber the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. In the Bible, in the 51st chapter of Isaiah, God tells his people, look to the rock whence you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father. And here the man whose name was changed by God to father of a multitude is also called rock. That same thing happens to Simon the fisherman. God incarnate changes Simon's name, and he changes it to rock. What Abraham was to the people of Israel is what Peter will be to the Israel of God, to the church, the father of the multitude. And today we commemorate these two great apostles of the church, of the city of Rome, Peter and Paul, both of whom underwent a name change. They were both witnesses of the risen Christ and recipients of God's revelation. Peter is told by Jesus himself, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Likewise, Paul calls himself an apostle through Jesus Christ, he says, and he says that he received God's revelation. When he received God's revelation, he says, I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. Like Peter, Paul does not receive God's revelation through flesh and blood. But as he writes, I have been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised. For he who worked through Peter for the mission to the circumcised worked through me also for the Gentiles. And Paul continues, and after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas. Paul went to visit Peter, and he calls him here Cephas, as we say in English, which in Greek is Kephas, which is a Hellenization of the Arabic name Kepa, rock. You are Kepa, and on this Kepa I will build my church. Rock, or rocky, if you like. For although grace and revelation are gifts from God, within the church, Paul differs to Peter. Because Peter is the rock of the church, without whom there is no church. This is very important. When that lad asked me, do you think your faith is superior to all other religions? What if he had asked me, do you think your church is superior to other churches? What should I have answered? Again, in this culture, you can't claim one thing is superior to another. But what if one thing is more true than another? In the end, Catholicism is about this, doing what Jesus told us to do. If we depart from Peter, we are doing what we want to do. And we are making our own Christianity. Okay? And it stops being Christ's Christianity. I'm not saying that these people are evil. I'm not saying that they are wicked in any sense. But this is not Christ's Christianity. If we can't say that, then we can't say anything. If we can say this, then we are confessing the truth. The problem, of course, is what happens when Peter sets a bad example. This happens in the New Testament all the time. Peter tries to walk in water, starts to lose faith, starts to sink. Peter says, I will do this, I will follow you, I will never deny you, and he does. Peter, always so impetuous, and then failing. It happens even after the resurrection. Because Peter and Paul had agreed with the other apostles not to bind the Gentiles with Jewish customs. And yet, in Antioch, when a group of Jewish Christians come up from Jerusalem, Peter, who was eating with the Gentile Christians, suddenly stopped eating with the Gentiles and withdrew, so much so that the other Jewish Christians in Antioch also stopped, and even Barnabas, Paul's associate, also stopped eating with the Gentiles. And Paul gets mad, and he says, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he was to be blamed. Paul knows that Peter is preeminent, and what he does, others will follow. Peter has been given the keys of the kingdom, to bind and to loose. And even when he's not binding or loosing, his behavior sets an example. And a bad example of some successes of Peter have, over history, contributed to a growing desire for reform, for a growth in holiness in the church. But this cannot be done outside the church. And that's why Luther and Calvin and all those other people are wrong. They had good intentions, but went about it the wrong way. Once you break with Peter the rock, what are you building on? You're building on your own rock, on sand. Peter is a rock, Christ left. Every other rock is sand. Okay? There is only the Christianity that Christ gave us. And that must include the firm foundation of Peter. So the role of the successor of Peter, that is, of the popes, belongs to the very nature of the church. By the choosing of Jesus himself, it is not a whim, it is not an accident of history. And whatever is not built on Peter will not last. And within the church, the charism of Peter is not opposed by the charism of Paul. As though Paul were an excuse to combat or ignore Peter. The Apostle Paul never did that. But the Lord raises up in the church the charism of Paul also to rebuke Peter. Whenever, God forbid, Peter should vacillate and seek to please the crowds, and seek adulation, to be popular, and compromise the gospel, Paul will always rise up in the church, by God's grace, to to remind Peter to be Peter, to be the rock he's meant to be, and not shifting as sand. Because our Lord prayed, and our Lord's prayers are always heard, that Peter would turn and strengthen his brothers. In the church, the popes continue to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, just as Peter did. And they continue to turn to Christ and strengthen us, their brothers and sisters. And they will continue to hold the keys of the kingdom and continue to feed Christ's sheep and lambs and still confess, continue to confess, that we have nowhere else to go except to Christ. And still say to Christ, Lord, you know everything. You know that we love you, and the gates of hell shall never overcome this